the four horses of Revelation. We're dealing with Revelation, the sixth chapter. We've already shown how that the first three chapters of the book of Revelation was the menorah, the candlestick, that was in the old tabernacle, that was in the temple, and that Christ, as the Holy Spirit, was in the midst of this, because that's what Gethsemane means. Gethsemane means crushed, pressed oil. It's olive oil. When Christ went to Gethsemane, he was being crushed so that the olive oil could flow through the menorah. The menorah in the book of Revelation are the seven churches, and it's Christ in the midst of the churches. The first three chapters deal with these seven churches and things that Christ expressed to the seven churches. Then chapter four, we hear a trumpet, just like 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The church is caught away. When Christ's second coming at Armageddon is not a catching away. The catching away of the church does not happen on earth. It happens in the ether, in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says. We'll be caught up in the air, bodies slumped over, but those are out of here that are not going to go into the great tribulation. Then, through the fourth chapter, it establishes the elders in heaven. We're in heaven. And the fifth chapter establishes the book that Christ will open as far as the seals are concerned, the trumpets and the vials, the things that happen in the book of Revelation. We've already discussed how that the great tribulation that lasts 7 years is Daniel's 70th week. It goes into 2 3-1/2 year periods. The first 3.5 is the peace covenant that the Antichrist will make with Israel, the Palestinians, all the nations of the Mideast. He will settle it down. He will settle radical Islam down. The false prophet will help broker it, and the false churches that are in the Great Tribulation period, all the worldly denominations with all their money who preach politics in the name of religion, whose theology is nothing more than social psychology. They think that it's all social justice, or they think that America's the new Zion and the keeper of the world, yet Canada's bigger in land area, Brazil, China, other nations, but we have this destiny, this manifest destiny, all this stuff that has been mixed with religion, and all of it's going into the tribulation because Israel cannot have the millennial kingdom with denominations and other religions and political powers. Everything that can be shaken must shake in this great tribulation period. And it's prophesied more in the Old Testament than the New Testament. So here we go. David, you start us out here with Luke 21, verse 11.
And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven.
Okay, one of the signs of the end times will be earthquakes. In several places, they're referred to as birth pains, like a mother having contractions. She's going to give birth to a baby, and as they become bigger and more violent and worse, she's closer to her delivery. As we go, we see these great earthquakes. We've seen that one in Japan, and we'll be talking a little bit about that tonight. And I'm going to go into the five earthquakes that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. One is sort of nominally mentioned, but four are very specifically mentioned. One is actually in Jerusalem. You know, there's a lot of specifics in the book of Revelation that are not talked about. And some of these are these five great earthquakes. Tonight, we're going to deal with the first great earthquake that will happen right when Russia breaks the peace covenant that the Antichrist has made with Israel. Israel gets its temple, starts to have sacrifice again. All right, remember Jesus said it in Matthew 24:15-21? When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, let the reader understand. And I've shown how in Daniel 12 and other places, these prophecies were sealed. And for many days, when all the old Hebrew scholars and sages would look at them, they were sort of bypassed. But when the Lord came out of the temple for the very last time on this earth as a human being, and he went over to the Mount of Olives and gave his discourse there in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, those chapters, he said that there would be these earthquakes. And he talked about this abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel. And he literally mentioned the name Daniel. So when the Antichrist defiles the temple, it won't be until the middle of the seven-year period. In the meantime, he's got to come to power. Last week, we dealt with NATO. We dealt with all the nations that are part of NATO. We dealt with the revived Roman Empire. We showed the maps how that the old Roman Empire actually had 40 nations in it, but that the revived Roman Empire in Daniel 2 and in Daniel 7, we talk about the 10 toes and the 10 horns, and that the Antichrist comes up, and as of the 8th, we seem to have this parabolic language. But when we get into Scripture, we understand it. There were seven kinds of government. Now the Roman Empire is being healed. The Antichrist will sit upon 10 of the nations. 3 he will pluck up and fight. He will take power, and that with him will be a false church system and a false prophet that will also hear this man, hear this man. And all the churches will go, yes, who can make peace like it's being made in the Mideast? ISIS is settled down. The Iraq war is settled down. Syria is settled down. The scripture says that Jerusalem, Israel will become an on-wall place. It will look as if it's got peace and safety. And then we read last week how it said right out that when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Because Russia and her allies will come against Israel. That will bring the Antichrist out of the NATO European nations, you know, and they may change. I'm not saying what and what is what, but I believe, and with all my heart, we know for sure, Italy, Rimbaud said that France is the first daughter of the Roman Empire. France, these nations there, right there in Europe, will be where this Antichrist starts to come out and become the great horn, like Nebuchadnezzar was, the head of gold was. He'll speak great things, and he will cause Jerusalem to become internationalized. The Palestinians and Islam will keep their Mosque of Omar, be able to go there, but the Jewish temple exists, and yet it's the very head of Christianity. It's one of the great bastions of all world religions. It's internationalized, the man of peace, the man of safety. And Russia signs on, the Big Six sign on, China, Russia, England, France, and all these countries in NATO, the whole common market seems to sign on. We read in Daniel 8, I think it was 35, how that he'll cause prosperity. He'll cause craft to prosper. He will come to power through peace. And we see that the white horse, the first horse that Christ opens up in the seals, is a white horse, and that it has a crown, and that this is the false peace. Paul talked about it. There's a false peace that Paul said that can even deceive the elect. That here's the Christians that are here and that are gone political, and it's about the U.S. and it's about the United Nations, and it's about, and they're going behind this man who's come to power. And they're going, look at man, this is going to be more like Norway and Denver, or, you know, Denmark and Holland, and we've got the socialist dream. All the things that Dostoevsky talked about in the Grand Inquisitor, here it comes, a unified man. But remember what Christ taught us about the Tower of Babel. He broke it up, confused the languages, and split them because he never wanted man unified under man. Because when man unifies under man, he goes under Cain. He goes under Satan. He goes under what happened in Eden. He goes under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thinking he can get out of it through technology, thinking he can get out of it through politics, thinking he can get out of it through ideology and his own understanding. He can't, and he only gets worse. Every time he, you know, makes a computer and we seem like we're having fun getting closer, here comes a nuclear weapon or a biological weapon or a GMO, and they're taking DNA and splicing things and mixing them in, just like Frankenstein's. They're playing games because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has no ethics. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil doesn't have right and wrong. It whatever we can do, we'll do. And that's how far we'll go. So, oh yeah, we got. I remember when I talked to, I asked Isaac Asimov a question at Boston College. You know, at that time, I hardly knew who he was, and here he is, one of the. He's the guy who invented the word robot, right? He's one of the main authors of all the world. I said, I raised my hand. I said, "Do you think we should have a world government?" He said, "Absolutely." Didn't hesitate, him or her. Said, "Absolutely. It just makes sense." He says, "These national borders and all this armies and all this money and all these defense contracts are absolutely ridiculous." And logically, that's the way science thinks. Objectively, that's the way science thinks. Because science doesn't deal that we're sinful, that we're fallen. Science doesn't deal with Lucifer and one-third of the angels that fell. Science doesn't believe in that. Those are just sociological symbols. So because of it, you know, yeah, we should unify. We should get one language. We should have one great big internet. We should be one great big happy world. Call it globalism. Call it this or whatever else. But all we do is head more into the image of the fall. And Christ warned us that the Antichrist will come to power under these kinds of ideologies. And the churches have already fallen for it. I read it about it again today. Men being married with men by the church. No, it's not just the state. Women being married with women. It's secular humanism. They've adopted that democracy is a religion. Not scripture. Scripture's like, well, we can't. Come on, that's an ancient book. We're not going to believe that. We believe in Christ, the flesh-colored Christ that glows in the dark. We believe in the little idol. We believe in the Norwegian Christ who's got the lamb in his hands. And, you know, we got all this kind of stuff. But the Christ of Scripture, where we have a morality based on what the Bible says, that we should have lifestyles conducive to what Scripture says, that we're supposed to live a life of prayer and seeking the kingdom first. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, Christ told the last church, "I would that you were hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth." All those denominations go right into the tribulation period. And they're going to go, "Yeah, yeah, the man of peace. Look at, we're settling ISIS and Syria down, and Russia's aboard, and they're meeting in Belgium, and they've got a great conference here, and it's all seemingly working out, and the Jews are going to get their temple, and people are all shaking hands," right? But it's not the covenant of Jesus Christ. It's the covenant that will lead to 666 and the Antichrist, a totalitarian government where no man can buy or sell except he that has the mark of the beast. But that doesn't happen until the second 3.5 years when the Antichrist says, "Enough of this religion." And he'll go against the temple. He'll go against Mecca and Medina. And in Revelation 17 and 18, he'll burn the Catholic Church and the false Protestant Church, to clear total way for Israel to have Isaiah 2, where the law will go forth from Jerusalem and Israel will get all of its promises back in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what we're dealing with. But the sixth chapter is the beginning of the tribulation. The church is gone. The rapture has taken place. Those that are left, the churches that are left, are all going to be in cahoots with social justice and America the Great, or who is like the beast, or the European market. Oh my God, we've got to back this peace. Look at it, it's almost messianic. Can you believe it? Everything is settling down. China, Russia, everyone's aboard. And then all hell breaks out because the first war takes place in this tribulation when Russia and her allies will try to come into Israel and make the West respond, and then China and everybody else gets involved. All of it's going to go down the tubes. So this is what we're dealing with here. Okay, now we have, you can start, Michelle, Ezekiel 38. You can read verses 7 through 23. First, Ezekiel was one of the main prophets of the Old Testament. He was taken from Jerusalem in 588, but right really around 606. He was one of the first ones taken to the Babylonian captivity when Israel was taken captive. He's given credit for starting the synagogues. He was a prophet, not of the first temple, though he's seen it, but of this but between the two temples. And he wrote this concerning the future when Israel would have a time where they would be back in their land. So you can start it, Michelle, read it for us, please.
Get ready, be prepared. Keep all the armies around you mobilized and take command of them. A long time from now, you will be called into action. In the distant future, you will swoop down on the land of Israel, which will be lying in peace after her recovery from war and after the return of her people from many lands. You and all your allies, a vast and awesome horde, will roll down on them like a storm and cover the land like a cloud. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. At that time, evil thoughts will come to your mind, and you will devise a wicked scheme. You will say, Israel is unprotected land filled with unwalled villages. I will march against her and destroy these people who live in such confidence. I will go to those once desolate cities that are filled again with people who have returned from exile in many nations. I will capture vast amounts of plunder and take many slaves, for the people are rich with cattle now, and they think the whole world revolves around them. But Sheba and Dinan and the merchants of Tarshish will ask, who are you to rob them of silver and gold? Who are you to drive away their cattle and seize their goods and make them poor? Therefore, son of man, prophesy against Gog. Give him this message from Sovereign Lord. When my people are living in peace in their land, then you will come, rouse yourself. You will come from your homeland in distant north with your vast cavalry and your mighty army, and you will cover the land like a cloud. This will happen in the distant future. I will bring you against my land as everyone watches, and my holiness will be displayed by what happens to you. Then all the nations will know that I am the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You are the one I was talking about long ago when I announced through Israel's prophets that in future days I would bring you against my people. But when Gog invades the land of Israel, says the Sovereign Lord, my fury will rise. For in my jealousy and blazing anger, I promise a mighty shaking in the land of Israel on that day. All living things, all fish, birds, animals, and people will quake in terror at my presence. Mountains will be thrown down, cliffs will crumble, walls will fall to the earth. I will summon the sword against you throughout Israel, says the Sovereign Lord. Your men will turn against each other in mortal combat. I will punish you and your hordes with ease and bloodshed. I will send torrential rain, hailstones, fire, and burning sulfur. Thus I will show my greatness and holiness, and I will make myself known to all the nations of the world.
Okay. When Gog attacks the land of Israel, verse 18, my hot anger will be aroused, declares the Sovereign Lord. In my zeal and fiery wrath, I declare at that time there shall be a great earthquake. This is the first earthquake of Revelation 6, which we are going to read. This is the first earthquake. Now, the reason I didn't go through verse 1, 2, and 3, because that's dealing with the confederation of people that God uses names. He uses Rosh, he uses Persia, he uses Togarmah, he uses Ethiopia. He uses a bunch of names in Ezekiel 1, 2, and 3 that will come into a confederation, and they will come into Israel. What Michelle read there is that this prophecy will happen many times. Many, many years, many days, many, many days away. Now, I told you the story when I was in Jerusalem waiting at the bus station. And there was a rabbi there, you know, black beard and hats and all that. And I, you know, he must have thought I was Jewish. And we were waiting at an egg bus station. And I said to him, I said, the Israel we see here today, is this the Israel of God? He said, no. Israel must be attacked by the north. I said, you mean Russia? He said, yes, Ezekiel 38 and all her allies before. But he said, this is Israel being called back from the nations. This is Israel coming back from Hitler, from all the horror of Nazism. He said, but this is not the Israel that will be under the Messiah. He said, first they must go through this horrible war. And I'm sitting there with goose pimples, and I'm going, oh my God, I can't believe he's preaching the same exact thing I preach. And here he is, an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, knowing that Israel will go through this. And they use the exact same scriptures as we do. The far uttermost north. If you look on a map, Moscow is directly north of Israel, and it's way up there. It's the far, far north. And I wanted to get these scriptures because this is on Revelation, the sixth chapter, and especially dealing with this earthquake. Now, it's an incredible earthquake. The magnitude of it is just fantastic. Now, what we'll do first here, Chris, you can read the first few seven scriptures of Revelation 7. Revelation 6, verses 1 through 7, please.
Then I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four creatures call out as a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked, and there was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. Then he opened the second seal. I heard the second living creature call out, "Come," and out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people would slaughter one another, and he was given a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third creature call out, "Come," and looked, and there was a black horse. Its rider held a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's pay, 3 quarts of barley for a day's pay, but do not damage the olive oil and the wine." Then he opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice coming from the fourth creature call out, "Come." And looked, and there was a pale green horse. Its rider was Death, and Hades followed him. They were given authority over the fourth of the earth to kill with sword, famine, and pestilence, and by the wild animals of the earth.
So here's your four horses. The white horse, the false peace. The red horse, war. Russia comes in. The third horse, the black horse, is part of the result of this whole war, horrible famine. And when you look at scripture, a penny, which is a day's wage kind of a thing for wheat, we see people are working for extreme amounts in order to even have food. So there we have famine and pestilence. And then the green horse, right? The green, pale, corpse-looking horse, the pale horse. It's death, not just death. It's Hades. It's hell. It's satanic. And it's after all the people of the beast, of this Roman Empire, that have not yet received 6-6. But it's a horrible judgment. Because when these first nuclear weapons go off, they won't go off. I don't believe they will go off in Israel unless Israel has a limited ability to have a nuke that only has a small parameter. But it definitely, the Bible says, and I'll get into that next study or the study after, that when the Antichrist starts to come in, a sixth of Russia is left. That's where all the missiles are. And it says that the islands that dwell carelessly will be hit. And once these bombs go off, once these missiles go off, a lot of them won't make it there. But they're going to go into the oceans. They're going to go into the seas. They're going to go into the crops. Well, you know, we're going to see men seek deaths for 5 months and not be able to find it. We're going to have horrible nuclear fallout and biological warfare. We're going to have polluted oceans that are unbelievable, tides rising. And I'll get into it. I'll get into one earthquake tonight. Just a little bit of facts about what happened in 2011 in Japan and what it did that, you know, CNN got right away from it. Oh, you know, they're more concerned about Donald Trump's hair. They're more concerned that we don't get hardly news. We don't even hear GMOs mentioned by either party, Franken Foods. And, you know, right now we don't even know if they've yet taken a human body and put it in an embryo someplace in a test tube. They don't tell us what's really going on. That's way later. All the experiments that happened in Nazi Germany and Japan with the Chinese and all those things, that's all underneath it. That's all there. That's what we would come to. Island of Dr. Moreau. Oh, yeah. Well, my elbow's sore. Well, put a pig's bone in there. Put a little DNA in there. Get some horse, you know. So, because that Satan's always wanted to change man. That's why he created the Nephilim in the beginning there. And the Book of Enoch. He's always wanted to take mankind and make him out of the image of God and make him his own drone, his own image. And he's still trying to do that. Right? I don't trust men. I trust Christ and his word. So this great battle links with a earthquake. Revelation 6, 12 through 14. You read 12 through 14.
And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely fig, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places.
Pretty powerful earthquake. Pretty powerful earthquake. Put in your Bibles, right there, Ezekiel 38. The Ezekiel 38, the Hebrew scriptures. This is the first earthquake mentioned of the five earthquakes mentioned in the book of Revelation. This is the first one. It will not be as bad as the one at Armageddon, but it is bad. And it will hit a fault line that will affect oceans, that will affect every single country on the earth. You know, you've heard me talk about it before. There's over 7,000 dams in the United States. We don't have the salmon coming in. Salmon are blocked out. We don't have nature working. We have, you know, a New Orleans. We have all kinds of insanity because man thinks he knows better. Oh, we'll just put this fly in there. And then we got a pestilence. Oh, we'll just do this and tamper with nature like we're so big and we're so smart. God's got to get it all cleaned and ready again to grow. So he's going to take so much out in this tribulation. And he's going to shake, rattle, and roll this world. And this earthquake is going to affect the world. Now, it will work hand in hand with the nuclear. You can see there when Michelle was reading there in Ezekiel, I will execute judgment on him with plagues and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur. When Ezekiel wrote this and he gets the vision, does he see and know what airplanes are? Does he know what missiles are and burning sulfur and bombs? Can you imagine when Isaiah or Ezekiel or some of these people, John on Patmos, sat there and seated the fright? They must have had hearts unreal. They had to have angels. Said, oh, no, don't die, Chris. You know, I mean, if we could open up our eyes and see Lucifer and a third of his angels coming into this planet and what's coming, none of us here would survive. God hides it from us. He does not allow us to see what was in the book of Job. Yeah, Job loves you. Take his wife and kids. You know? And here Job is just going, what happened? Sabians and Babylonians coming. Wife's dead. Next thing you know, he's cleaning off. He's got some clay and he's cleaning off sores. Right? Satan is working. Thank God for the hedges. That's why you don't ever want to go back to drugs or alcoholism or fornication or any of the old sins that you've been living in. Don't put your hand in. Beware of the dog. Oh, come here, Spot. Oh, yep, just got bit. Just got cancer again. Just having another hysterectomy or whatever. You fool with the devil. You think he's not going to have the ability to come in? You don't take away your hedges that Christ and angels are there with by running and going back into a sinful lifestyle. I'm afraid of that. When you know the truth, we got to stay on the straight and narrow. You know, we pray all the time for these kids and the people and your offspring because they don't know. They're not hot or cold. They're cold. But to be a Christian in these times when we're given the Bible and the opening of these seals and the understanding of prophecy, it's a fearful thing to walk outside the will of God, David. It's a fearful thing to see demons. It's a fearful thing to live around a house where suicide happened and where those whispers are in those walls and those shadows are all around because nothing has ever cast them out. It's a fearful thing to hang out with people that are practicing witchcraft. You don't do that when you're in Christ. You take your walk with God serious. Amen? So here is this incredible war. Now, they're talking in the allegories they can understand. You know, you go to Arizona and you get a dust storm. What's the moon going to look out like that night? Red, right? We know better right now that the earth, when there's a lot of dust, you know, the scripture said 1/3 of the light will be blocked in Revelation 8, I believe it is. And we'll get, because we're going through every chapter of the book of Revelation. And that doesn't mean that the sun is blocked. It means all the dust and the ramifications of a nuclear war and the global warming. You talk about carbon and all the rest of it. Until you're not even getting the sun. We don't get the sun even now like we should, or we get too much in some places. We're playing games. You know, no, we're not. Don't be talking about the petrol fuel industry like that. I work for it. You know, I mean, we're playing games. Everybody knows down deep that the glaciers are melting. They've got photos. They've got cameras on them. Everybody knows something's up, but they hide it. Don't look over there. Don't watch that. Look at his hairdo. Look at her. Oh, my God. Bathing suit week. Oh, you know, they hide it. Constantly hide it from everybody. It's all right. It's fine. Take your kids out to Como Park. You know, don't sit there. Don't look over there. No, don't look over there. I mean, all this is happening. All this is coming on our planet. And Satan gets the violin and the false piece and go to sleep, Christians. Go get the bubble. Go get your pot. Go get drunk. Go get laid. Go on out. Forget God. Make your money. Think that you're going to find happiness and joy in the temporal and not get yourself linked in with the kingdom all the way. Right? People do it all the time, and Satan loves it because the Bible said in Matthew 16:16 that the devil caters to the things of the flesh in order that he can bind the soul. He said it to Peter. When Peter said, Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Thou dost not cater to the things of God, but to the flesh of men. So he binds people. He wants us allured with shiny objects. Look at that. Wow. I'll go 10 years in debt for that, Lexus. Wow. I won't pay child payments, and I won't do that. But I got me a new truck. Right? I can't get just a regular fishing boat. I got to have a biggie. I got to take a marriage. Well, the kids are out of the house. It's time for us to buy a new home. Yeah, we got 5 bedrooms and 2 foyers and 2 living rooms. Hope we don't get foreclosed. Because people are crazy. And Satan drives them insane with the games. And the scripture says that all the Gentiles seek after the things of the world. Right? Not the things of the spirit, the things of peace and joy. Things are not wrong in themselves, but they should be used for the glory of God so that we lift one another up, encourage one another, and find ourselves deeper and deeper in Christ because he is coming back again for the souls of men by his blood that he shed on Calvary. And that is the pearl of great price. That's why we're here in these days. Not to collect things, but to collect souls for the kingdom. So the Spirit shines out of us. The love of Christ shines out of our lives. So that we don't have to stand into this horrible period, this tribulation period. I mentioned last week, there are approximately 7.4 billion people on the planet today. What Chris said was that 1/4 of these will be killed in this chapter alone in the beginning of the Great Tribulation. We cannot fathom 1,800,000,000 people being killed. In World War II, with calamities and as such, there are 60 million people that died. Compare that to 1,800,000,000 people. That means with all civilians and casualties of military people, there were 30 times as many people that will die in this one chapter that died in World War II. Yet we see it all the time on geography and history programs. Oh, World War II and World War II and Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin. Can you imagine what happens in this war when this one war takes place in Revelation 6? 1/4 of mankind is slain by the first 4 seals. Then the 5th seal is the people that are start to get killed. You know, it says in verse 9 in the 6th chapter, when he opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar of the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign, holy, and true Lord, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait longer until the full number of their fellow servants or brothers and sisters were killed, just as they had been. So these people are killed in the 5th seal after the 4 horses. Why? Because the nations after this war will be sick of religion, and especially Christianity, because the devil has come down in great number. And all these people, the denominations are already in cahoots with the Antichrist. Peace in our time, peace, peace, peace. The false prophet's gone, there's no one like this deal. All the ramifications and the politicians are going along, and the social justice people, the flesh-colored Christ, the rabbit's footers, those that believe in Jesus but don't believe in the Bible. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the Bible. You know, all those political people, all those political Christians that are full of hogwash, that sit there and think that as long as you march at the Capitol for gay rights, you're going to heaven. You know, all these crazy people that are blinded by the devil in order to think that you can achieve social justice through law. When you try to make the world a perfect place, all you end up with is the Garden of Eden and the fall of mankind all over again. That's why Christ went to the cross to crucify the law. Because no one can stand by the law and can be justified by it. So all these people that are striving to make the world into the kingdom of God are absolutely failing. It doesn't mean I'm not going to vote. Doesn't mean I don't try. Doesn't mean I won't back up you know, Amnesty International, or I won't give to Christian Children Fund, or, you know, I won't give to an animal shelter. Doesn't mean that I can't do good works, but I have no illusions. We are not bringing in the kingdom of God through our righteousness. Who's bringing in the kingdom of God? Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one that's going to defeat this entire system. The Bible says it in verse 21 of Matthew 24. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. That these days would be so bad that it would be absolute 100% genocide. Oh, no. Remember what I said about the ark? Oh, no. Hey, no, hang on a second. There's a few good people out there. We're going to preach some social justice to them. Remand. Get them into a center. See if we can change them. Talk to them a lot. Keep them up 24 hours and tell them, you're no good, you're no good, you need to program. You know, I mean, whatever they try to do, however they try to make a human being over again, it's going to utterly fail without a higher power. That's the point. The point is that we have to have Christ in our lives. We have to have a relationship with Christ, that man cannot create righteousness from sin. You can't do it. It's like one of these shows I've seen, I think it was one of the second main ones, Night of the Living Dead 2, and it was in a shopping mall. And this one scientist was there, and he had stolen some of the zombies away, and he was feeding them. He was feeding them a little blood, and all they were doing is, you know. And then a guy came, what are you doing? The guy came in with a machine gun, shot every one of them. The scientist is almost crying. What did you do? I'm trying to see if I can salvage these. You can't salvage sin, or he wouldn't have gone to the cross, right? The day after the catching away takes place, there'll be a church meeting. There'll be an AA meeting. There'll be an Al-Anon meeting. Are those things bad? No, they're excellent for right now, right? But who is your hope in, Chris? Christ. Jesus Christ. Your hope is in Christ. So it's an amazing amount of people that will die in this chapter. Okay, so we read Ezekiel 38. Now, we've seen here in Revelation 6:12 with David read, I opened up the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth. Well, that's what he's seen. Did he sit there and say, did John go? There was a great earthquake, and I seen carbon emissions. And then there was a loss of oxygen and hydrogen, and it was, did he explain it like that? He seen a vision, and what did he see? He looked out, and it looked like the sun was being blocked out. So they spoke in their own language, which is simple enough for everyone to understand. Now, what's difficult is the book of Revelation, or all the Hebrew scriptures and New Testament scriptures, are almost like a jigsaw puzzle. You got to put them together, which takes tenacity. It doesn't take a super, super IQ or God. The Bible would only be for the intelligent. What is salvation made of? Salvation is the person who knows the most scripture, can quote the most scripture. No. The scripture says, babes in Christ shall utter wisdom. But when you come into Christ, you're supposed to grow first on the milk of the word and then the meat. And that means you diligently seek out the dark statements and you begin to read the Bible. The Bible becomes your priority. You begin to have books on it. You begin to have things, oh, I'm going to put in a cassette or a CD. Well, what's that? Oh, I got the book of Hebrews. I'm just reading it on the way to work and praying a little bit. You start to understand scripture. You, like the old Jews, had frontlets before their eyes. And they had it, Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. They had things. We get the same way. Why? Because Christ is first in our lives. What are you reading there, you know? Well, I'm looking at the Bible. Slowly but surely, you see how all these scriptures come together and you begin to see the story. So we understand this whole sackcloth situation. Okay. The earthquake that shook the world in 2011 hit just off the Pacific coast of Tokyo, Japan. This super earthquake is also known as the 211 Tohoku earthquake of the Great Japan, or the Great Japan earthquake. The 2011 Japan earthquake was a 9.0 magnitude that occurred undersea on March 11th, 2011. The Great East Japan earthquake was the most powerful earthquake ever known to hit Japan, and was one of the five most powerful earthquakes the world has ever experienced. As high as 40 meters, approximately 133 feet of waves came over and broke into the land. The earthquake in Japan was so powerful that it triggered a powerful tsunami that created waves reaching in height 133 feet. The Japan earthquake was so strong that it shifted the earth on its axis. Scientists measured it in amounts estimated between 4 inches and 10 inches. There's been a change. There's even been a change just from that one earthquake. That's how powerful that one earthquake is. Can you imagine this earthquake in Ezekiel? That's also, it's going to hit nuclear installations. It's going to move islands. It's going to hit, you know, mountains. It's going to hit lands, tidal waves, ocean roaring. It's going to make the heavens look funny, where when they looked out, there's the moon and the planets, and everything looks distorted. All the debris, and then the nuclear weapons that are going to go off when Russia fires at Australia, United States, New Zealand, tries to get at Europe, and all the defense, everything. And so much goes into the seas and nomadic places that still affects the animals and still affects the earth and will incredibly affect famine. This is coming. The scripture says he holds it back. Christ tries to hold it back to give your kids a chance to come in, your grandkids a chance to come in, your brothers and sisters and friends a chance to come in. But you might be their only ticket. And if you're not living it, if they can't see Christ in you, the chances for them sometime to really come home and understand the gospel goes so far down. When you don't live for Christ, your love for people and for your kids is not worth a nickel, so to speak. It's carnal. It's worldly. It doesn't have that power in prayer to help them to come into the kingdom. It's like a person who's dying on the side of the road, been hit by a car, and all you can do is come in and put a little damp rag on their forehead. That's what so many parents do for their kids. They're more worried about them going to college or getting a job than they are their eternal souls to know who the living God is. Because there is no way out of here except Jesus Christ. There is no technology or ideology or Martin Luther King or political movement that's going to bring this around again. This thing is heading to exactly what the Word of God is. And we are in this latest seeing rich America, this hard period where it is so easy to get distracted. And instead of fellowshipping in Christ, we so easily can fellowship in the carnal, including me. I'm preaching to Joe here. I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. I'm susceptible to it. But I know better. And I constantly have to get up and pray and seek and go and seek the kingdom of God first. Because I cannot help anybody if I can't get my own soul in the gate. And the gate is narrow. And the gate to hell is broad and easy to go into. But the gate into this salvation is narrow. It's in Christ. And we've been given the capacity to know the Bible, to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to take walks, to pray, to seek God, to take little walks down by Lorraine Park and sit there and say, no, I'm not going to walk with anybody today. I'm going to go pray. To get in our car and on our way to work or such, We can pray. We can seek. God help my kids. Lord God help me. I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to pray. I want people in the kingdom. Help me get my soul deeper in your love, because I know that's the only way out. The Japan earthquake was so strong that it shifted the earth on its axis. The Japan earthquake, the Great East Japan earthquake, caused approximately 16,000 deaths with an additional 5,800 injuries and approximately 3,500 people reported missing. The 2011 Japan earthquake has been named the most expensive natural disaster in world history. Andrea's fault. Oh, that's all right. Build right on top of it. That's all right. Build right on the fault line. Nothing's going to happen. Tremors and shakes and an earthquake and islands are moving. You know? And then look what it says as it ends the chapter there in the sixth chapter. Look what it says. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" This will be many people's last awakening to become white robe martyrs. They know that they'll never go back to one of these dead churches that are always closed and they're not open 24/7. Businesses and Target and everybody else is open 24/7. All these rich denominations, they don't have a house of prayer. They open up on Sunday and here and there. They're not really places of worship and prayer and constant seeking of God. People will try to go to these places in this tribulation period, and they're already aligned in with the Antichrist. So this earthquake is going to cause such a devastation in this war when Russia comes in. And we're going to go into the Allies. We're going to probably spend 5 weeks on this study in Ezekiel 38 and who exactly this North is in Persia and the covenant and what the Antichrist does and the movements in the tribulation. God put it there at this time. It's unsealed. It's supposed to be known. It's supposed to be learned. It's supposed to be discussed. It's there for a testimony to help people as we go. When you know it better, you can sit there and tell some of these secular humanists when you hear them, "Well, it's going to work out." Work out. It's not going to work out outside of the kingdom of God. It's not. Sure, you help people. Sure, you can have social justice and go to a South St. Paul thing because, let's say, somebody's started jumping trash in a place you don't want. Or the mafia garbage companies in Inver Grove are dumping where they shouldn't and people are mad about it. Or some situation. Sure, you can do a little protest like that, but don't be stupid about it. This is not going to work out until Christ comes back again. It is very important to understand that this war happens in the seals. This is the last point I want to get. There are tons of people who confuse the seals with the trumpets and the vials. Revelation 6 are the first six seals, right? Armageddon happens in Revelation 16. They're gathered together. I'll read it. Revelation 16, 12. And it's the sixth angel. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way the kings of the east might be prepared. And then it goes, and it talks about, you know, an earthquake that'll come in the 19th chapter at Armageddon. That will be the greatest earthquake in the book of Revelation. So it doesn't even happen. That earthquake does not even happen until we get to the vials. First, you've got seven seals, seven trumpets, then seven vials. The earthquake we're dealing with tonight is the sixth seal. Let's all say sixth seal. This is Gog Magog. Don't confuse this earthquake. There's five of them. And next week when we get back here, we'll start to go through the five earthquakes again so you understand it mentally. The other thing is, We're going to see that in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Jerusalem is not mentioned once. Jerusalem is mentioned. It will be when Armageddon takes place at the Valley of Jehoshaphat and Megiddo. There, I've been to those places. It's right there coming into Jerusalem, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The Ezekiel 38, the great battle here, takes place. They'll reach the mountains of Israel. They will not reach Jerusalem as we go. So there's all kinds of people who will try to tell you the battle of Gog Magog, which is called Gog Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39, two chapters dedicated to it, long chapters, is not the battle of Armageddon. Don't confuse it. This is the first war of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It is not Armageddon, which happens at the end of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Can you understand that? God made it this way. That's why he put it chronological and said seals, trumpets, and vials of judgment. Christ opens the book with the seals. This first war where 1/4 of the world dies happens in the first 4 seals. Then, because the nations now are going to hate religion, they're going to persecute Christians. And because once Russia comes in, the Antichrist is going to turn against religion as well. So the nations are going to become 1984 Stalinist, totalitarianist. We're done with this religious stuff. You're not going to do it any longer to us. And they'll kill people because it's so desperate. Democracy depends on a certain amount of freedom. How do you have democracy if ISIS launches the nuclear weapon? How do you have democracy if a terrorist group brings in a dirty bomb, a nuclear weapon into Atlanta and takes out 20 million people in that area? What's over with? Democracy. Right now they're checking you out in airports and all the rest of it. But you wait till a world calamity would happen in the realm of a terrorist thing. Not a couple hundred people, but I'm talking about a major nuclear weapon. You think it's not going to come? Man has always used every weapon he's ever created. Do you think that we can put the genie back in the bottle? Do you really think that proliferation of technology does not happen? North Korea, sooner or later, a terrorist group gets a nuclear weapon. Do you think ISIS would use a nuclear weapon? You know they would. So democracy is going to end. It's going to look a little bit in the first beginning of the tribulation. Peace, kumbaya. All the, you know, the gay churches are go. Oh, everyone's happy and everyone's fornicating and no one has to marry anymore. And two guys with a beard are kissing on the street. You know, and girls are walking around with their girlfriends and everything's flagrant. No, but there's no standards left whatsoever. There's no Bible morality left, right? And there's the churches. Yeah, the man of peace is here. Freedom, freedom. Everyone's got freedom, right? And then here comes this crazy war. And all you've got in this freedom is the golden calf. And Moses throwing the Ten Commandments at it and saying, this isn't freedom. This is the sound of war. And it's going to go into nothing except the Great Tribulation period. That's all it's going to come into. And here we are in it with bleachers, watching it unfold, watching, understanding that Israel wants peace. Israel wants their temple built. The Palestinians want a homeland. All these countries are involved. All these groups, Hezbollah and Hamas, you know, all these forces and sociological, historical forces from the Ottoman Empire. It's all there, swirling around. And here we are on our bleachers, half asleep at a hockey game. Go! Yeah, yeah! You know, more excited about what's coming in the world and getting ready for basketball season than a prayer life. Can hardly get our fat bodies on our knees. But it's the way it is. And yet God, somehow, is trying to wake us up so that we can get enough fire in Christ to show his love to help other people. Whose Father? Our Father. who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.